Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
George and Viola lay an egg. George and Viola have been friends for a long time. They are two of the most caring nano-vultures you'll ever meet. Let me tell you where they live. They live in a forest, but being very small, they live in a clump of grass on the forest floor. Have you ever laid in the grass and seen how it's a tiny forest down there? Well, for tiny birds like nano vultures, a clump of grass is like a forest. So, for George and Viola, they lived in a forest within a forest. But there is more, they lived in a tiny crack in a blade of grass, which was just like another forest. So, for George and Viola, they live in a forest within a forest within a forest. George said to Viola, "Dear, it's about time we heard the pitter-patter of little nano-vulture feet." Viola looked at George down her big striped beak and said, "How many, George?" Now George was not that good with numbers. There were so many wonderful things that happen when you are as small as a nano-vulture you number. George thought, "Two." George could see Viola thinking. "I know 18, offered George. That was a bigger number. That was the biggest number George had ever heard. But he was not much in the way of counting because there was always so much else to see and do if you were a nano-vulture. Righto then. George. You had better get a nest ready for 18 nano-vulture eggs," said Viola. George was very excited. He had something to do. He had seen lots of TV programs on building your own nest. He flew back and forth picking up twigs, all the while never leaving the tiny crack in the blade of grass in the forest. And by, when George felt he had the perfect nest, he thought to himself, "I have the perfect nest, not too big and not too small." And he said to Viola, "Come and look at the perfect nest. It's not too zero big and not too small." Viola flew over to George. The time was fast approaching for her to lay the 18 nano-vulture eggs. "Why, darling, that is the perfect nest. Not too big and not too small. The nest was just big enough to hold just one nano-vulture egg." George thought for a bit. His feathers became ruffled, a sure sign he was worried and upset. "George, it is perfect," Viola consoled him. "Nano-vulture eggs slide through each other, so all our eggs will fit in this perfect nest. Let me tell you about nano-vulture eggs, and unlike other children's stories where you may never see a glass slipper or a gingerbread house, I can guarantee you will see a nano-vulture egg. They're called electrons, and you will hear of them all the time when you are older because they're real. We have learned to tame electrons and get them to do all kinds of things like lighting up your bedroom, powering your toys, or running a cake mixer. Nano-vulture eggs aren't like the eggs you see in the fridge or at Easter. They have no shell. If they have no shell, they have no inside or outside. As you get closer to them, there is more of it until you pass right through the center, and then there is less of it. It is like walking through a ghost. This is what Viola meant when she said, "Slide through each other." Unlike the eggs in your fridge, the nano-vulture eggs can pile into the same spot. Now, there is something else you should know. And every nano-vulture knows that the eggs come in two colors, pink for boy eggs and blue for girl eggs. That's just the way it is. Years later, you will remember this story, but for electrons. Instead of boy and girl, it's called spin up and spin down. You don't have to worry about any of that. Now, let's get back to the story. Viola had that look in her eye. Squawk. She laid a nano-vulture egg. Blue. It's a blue egg. A boy. It's a girl, cried George. George was amazed. This was the most wonderful thing that happened in the crack in a blade of grass in the forest. Something was wrong. The egg fitted perfectly. Still, George was worried about something. Something was not right. Viola said, "George, You had better get an egg-centering stone, one strong enough to hold in 18 eggs. Or if you can't find 18, 17 will do. George suddenly remembered what he had been taught at Nano Vulture School. These egg-centering stones somehow stick to the eggs, and as they are very heavy and small, and the eggs are very light and big, the egg won't blow away. But why was he asked to find a stone that can attract 18 eggs? He couldn't spend time thinking, he had to rush. Viola had that look in her eye. Who knows what would happen next? George flew around the crack in the blade of grass in the forest. He looked and looked. There were lots of stones that could attract one egg. Some two. He was getting desperate. There was a 12 one, no, that wouldn't do. There was a 17 one, no, I need an 18 one because we are having 18 eggs. While George is flying around hunting for egg-centering stones, we should have a little conference about them. Let me tell you about egg-centering stones. Unlike other children's stories where you may never see an owl and pussycat in a boat or a beanstalk rising up into the clouds, I can guarantee you will see egg-centering stones. They're called nuclei and you will hear of them all the time when you are older because they're real. Just like the stone George is looking for. Nuclei are very small and heavy. The sun is so hot in the sky because it is making heavier nuclei by squishing together lighter ones. Every time it makes the heavier nucleus, there is a shower of heat and light. Coming back to George, he could squeeze together some of the one egg-centering stones to build up 2, 3, 4, all the way up 18. But his beak is too weak. That is why he has to keep searching. I can't find a single 18 egg-centering stone. Not a single one, George sighed. He flew to where he remembered seeing a 17 egg-centering stone. And by he found it. He picked it up in his beak. It was so heavy. Could he fly? He beat his nano vulture wings and with his little webbed feet ran as fast as he could and just. Only just. Took to the air. Now you might ask if nano vultures have webbed feet. Well, the story of why they decided they were nano vultures will have to wait for another day. But I can tell you it involves George and Viola going to a mythical beasts convention. And Hungry Sam, the camel fish who was ahead of George and Viola in the queue, eating most of the pages out of the What Mythical Beast Is That book. But back to the nest. The perfect nest. George landed and said, ah-ah. Ah-ah. Grr, and then opened his beak to then say, I looked everywhere and finally found the right nano vulture egg-centering stone. As he said, it's the very heavy, very small 17 nano vulture egg-centering stone dropped out of his beak and fell on the beautiful blue egg. It didn't break because it is different from a normal egg. A nano vulture egg has no surfaces. No inside or outside. It only exists more as you move toward it. And after you pass through and come out the other side, it exists less. George and Viola closed their eyes, they were worried. They opened them to look for the nano vulture egg-centering stone. It wasn't sitting on top. It hadn't bounced off to the side. It wasn't underneath, so it hadn't fallen straight through. It was very, very small and very, very heavy. Where could the nano vulture egg-centering stone be? Viola and George both had to work together to lift the egg to look underneath, as it was now very heavy. Viola looked at George. George looked at Viola. They both looked into the nano vulture egg. There was the egg-centering stone floating in the very center of the egg. There it is, they both said. Viola had that faraway look. Squawk. Squawk, out popped the second egg. It was pink. It's a girl, No, a boy, George cried. The second egg fell into the first, perfectly filling the nest. It had no surface. No inside, no outside. As you get closer to the center, there is more of it until you pass right through the center, and then there is less of it. Let me tell you about things falling into one another. Unlike other children's stories where you may never meet the Muffin Man or Jack Frost, I can guarantee you will see things falling into one another. They're called wave functions and you will hear of them all the time when you are older because they're real. What Viola is going to do next to reshape her next nano egg with her expert beak work actually does happen with real wave functions. Viola had that faraway look. Squawk. Squawk, quack, out popped the third egg. It was blue. It's a girl, George cried. But something was wrong. The third egg wouldn't slip into the other two to be held in place by the nano vulture egg centering stone. Viola looked worried. George looked worried. Then Viola went into a trance. Her eyes spinning in opposite directions. She whirled her beak inside the third egg. And it transformed. It looked a little different, as if there was an egg within an egg. Very hard for me to describe as I wasn't there. That's what George said it looked like. But it did the trick, and all three eggs now lay through each other with the nano vulture egg centering stone in the very center. And so, the story continued. The faraway look. The squawking. The trance. The expert beak work. New patterns inside the eggs. Proud parents looking at the nest built for one egg. But now housing more as they slid through each other. We join the story at the last 18th egg. Viola had that faraway look. George thought, what's happening? Squawk. Squawk. Quack. 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 Out popped the 18th egg. I knew it. It is a boy, George cried. What a clever nano vulture. I am never wrong, he thought. Now for the trance and expert bill work. Two circle whirls. And one, two, three cross strokes. Marvelous work. Such skill. George felt a little nervous. This was nano vulture egg number 18. He had been through a lot. They had both been through a lot. It was really so intense. His mind went back to when he was searching for the nano vulture egg centering stone. He remembered the enormous weight. The run up. His web feet running. 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 And up into the air. Although thinking about it now, he could have just walked over to the nest. Then. He dropped it. Didn't he? No. He placed it carefully in the center of the egg. That is where you would expect to see an egg centering stone. But something was still worrying him. Think further back, run time in reverse. What a nightmare, had he not been able to find an 18. But brought back a 17 instead. What was he thinking? Why did he do it? Why? You stupid nano duck, I mean nano vulture. George opened his eyes. All the eggs were in the nest sitting through each other. It seemed a bit snug, but no one would know. There was nothing to know. Viola was calmly going through a book of atomic orbital names. It was written in the 1920s by an Austrian. Let me tell you about those stones that hold onto one extra nano vulture egg. Unlike other children's stories where you may see a gingerbread man closing in on you in your rear vision mirror, or a snowman turfing out all your frozen food to make room for himself in the freezer, I can guarantee you will see stones that hold onto one extra nano vulture egg. It is called electron affinity and means while only a few types of atoms lack this ability, most are more stable with one extra electron. This means if you add more electrons to neutral atoms, they will overlap and release energy. The most dramatic is for chlorine that has a nuclear charge of +17, and by going from -17 to -18 electrons releases the most energy. For the moment you are not going to encounter electron affinity at school. Perhaps someone ahead of your teacher in the queue ate those pages out of the science books. But if you can't get to learn about chlorine ions, you can definitely eat them. Just ask for extra chlorine and sodium ions on your next serve of chips. So, what happened to Viola and George? Well, many years later they got a letter that they read intensely. That said, they were only dreamt up as learning tools for children. George looked into Viola's eyes. Viola looked into George's eyes. Time to fly away and go on a cruise. Soaring in circles in the desert never really attracted him. They always liked the look of those rivers and waterways. However, when it came time for takeoff, they had accumulated so much stuff. So many books on quantum mechanics, they were just too heavy. They took the bus instead. Where did they go? Well, some say they went into some child's brain. There is a little door just inside the ear, apparently. And there they help the child imagine quantum physics, even though they're seeing different things on the classroom blackboard.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.